All right. We're all here. Hey, welcome back to Thinking Out Loud at WUML Lowell. Today is Monday, August 7th, and our special guest in the studio this morning is Rafael Santana. Good morning, Rafael, and thank you very much for coming in. He was supposed to be in last Monday, but I never seen him. He never saw me, so we're there looking for people, and we missed each other, so it didn't happen. But now it's happening.
Right, it sure is.
So thanks for being here, and I'll let you get into tell your own story any way you wish. Start where you wish and go. I'll ask some stupid questions to make you look smart, but other than that, it's you're on your own.
All right, so it all started in 1990. No, I'm just kidding. But so basically, right, I was born in Boston. I grew up in Lowell for most of my life, and my mother was a single mother with seven kids.
Did you have a mute button on? No? Okay.
All right.
Because I'm not hearing you.
Well, I can hear me.
Oh, okay. That's all that counts. Go,
all right, so my mother was a single mother with seven kids. So, like, needless to say, we never really had much, you know, and it was, like, a constant struggle trying to get by and get the things that we needed. And I actually fell into a bit of trouble early on through stealing and a bunch of other different things. And so as I got older, it progressed, you know, because needs become more and, you know, wants become more, and it started to escalate, and it got to the point where I ended up getting into some serious trouble, and I served 4 years in upstate prison. So during my four-year sentence, after the first 3 years, I went up for parole, and I got denied. You know, I thought I was doing good because I stayed out of trouble. You know, I minded my business, and I wasn't really
in what much. Facility were you in?
I was bouncing around. I went from Walpole to Plymouth, and then to Norfolk, and then to Concord Farm.
Really?
Yeah, so I did a bit of bouncing around.
Oh, I have a friend who's listening down in Shirley right now. Oh, Susan, yeah. Baranowski. David Jackson, ex Jackson. Good morning, David. He calls. We befriended each other, and right. I've been known him for about 9 months. And
okay.
Up until recently, I used to go down every week and visit him, but, you know, now we just talk on the phone anyway. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Right,
go ahead. Right. So with the rest of your story, so you've been around a little bit.
Yeah, so then after they denied me parole the first time, they told me that, you know, I didn't do any programs or anything. So at that point, I knew that I had to do something to at least start to get my life on track, because that was not a place that I ever wanted to be again. So I started to get myself involved into a lot of programs and doing a bunch of different things, and I took on leadership roles in the programs so that the next time I went to see parole, they wouldn't deny me. So I went up, I seen parole in, I'll say, June of 2013. And I was released in July of 2013. And right when I got out, I immediately started to get myself involved in stuff, trying to keep myself busy so I wouldn't fall back into what I used to do. And I actually started working as an intern at LTC, Lowell Telecommunications Corporation. Mm-hmm. And I started doing a lot of video editing there and different things. And then I got enrolled into college and started taking some classes, trying to get my life on track, basically. And after a while, my internship at LTC ended, and that's when my probation officer at the time came to me, and he suggested the Youth Build program for me and told me that he felt like it'd be a good fit for me and that I could get a lot from it. So I went in there. I met with a couple of the staff members, one of them, Siobhan. She was case manager there, and she was the one that actually got me interested in the program. You know, I talked to her and I got a kind of like a feel for it. I got a tour of the building, and I seen the way that the staff interacted with the students, and it seemed like a really good program, something that I wanted to get involved in. So, you know, I started to participate. So I went down, signed up, and then I started in there, and right when I started, I decided that I was going to go in there and give it my all. If not for anything, just to get a good reference. That way I could, you know, get into the construction trade and start making some money so I could support myself, you know. And I was there for about, I want to say, 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the director of the program, Noctula Sabanda, and the construction supervisor at the time, Joseph Braga, called me into the office, and they asked me if I'd be interested in a position there as a construction trainer. So, of course, I was like, yeah. Like, when can I start?
It's you, man.
You know,
congratulations.
So, thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so they was like, it's a process, you know, so it was a lot of paperwork and back and forth with Community Teamwork, which is our parent organization.
Right.
So they're the ones that basically, you know, they have all the funds. They help guide us and lead us to the right way. So I ended up starting there in October of 2014. And I've been there ever since. Since then, I was promoted to construction manager for the Career Academy, which is the Lo-Hi Alternative School.
Yes.
Yeah.
So right across from Boarding House Park. Is that the one?
Nope. That's I saw on Smith Street. It used to be the Malloy Elementary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I'm currently at now. I'm kind of like back and forth between there and our main building on Dutton Street. And yeah, through Youth Build, I ended up getting to, because of Youth Build and because of them recognizing me and giving me the opportunity, I actually started to get involved into more things outside of Youth Build. Mm-hmm. Like, I had some involvement with the Juvenile Courts Restorative Justice Program. So basically, I was like a lead circle keeper for first-time juvenile offenders. And they would come into the program. They would we would have a circle with them, the parents, whoever was involved in their crime, police officers, if they were there. And
wow, that must have been a terrific experience.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. It's especially good because I know, like, I've gotten into some trouble when I was younger, and I wish I would have had a program like this, because if they came in and they do everything that's asked of them, their charge will be wiped clean from their record.
Wow.
You know, so it's not something that's going to hold them back. Like,
great incentive.
Yeah, with me, I caught my first case when I was 17, and it was on my record the whole time. Every time I went for a job, it would come up. Every time I went to do anything, it was popping up. It even came into trouble with my mother, with everything that she was going through because of my record. Like, you know, got like other people involved because DCF involved because I was still under 18 and a bunch of other things. But you know, I just feel like that with that program, it would have helped me guide me a little bit earlier. You know, because I always felt like I had the potential. I just never really had the drive or the push behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So Youth Build was kind of what really gave me that push. And now I actually one of the other things that I'm doing now is I'm a part of a leadership visioning team.
You're part of what?
A leadership visioning team.
Oh, okay.
Through Thrive Communities. And we're currently trying to basically see what the need is for the community so that we could help provide services for people being released from jails and prisons over the age of 25 so they could successfully, so that they would be able to successfully re-enter society and they won't have as much of a struggle or a hard time doing so. Like, you know, we want to try to be able to get them some housing if needed, help them get housing, help them get jobs. Like, we're basically just trying to see the need. So we're trying to, like, right now we're actually conducting interviews with people from each part of Lowell to try to see the needs in each area.
Right.
And that way we can, you know, see their opinions on people coming out of jails and prisons and what they feel like they need and what they feel uncomfortable with. So we could try to help change that. So people in the community feel comfortable, they feel safe with somebody coming out of jail and prison, living around them, so that the people coming out of jail and prison don't have as much of a struggle to, you know, do whatever they need to do. That way they can succeed and they don't always have to fall back to what they used to do.
Raphael, you are a fantastic success story. Your story needs to be told over and over again. Have you ever been down to Billy's Barbershop?
No, but
on Andover Street?
I haven't been down there, but I have heard of them.
Yeah. Well, you've got to go down there because we're always looking for counselors with experience, you know, and you have a lot to share. And, you know, we get them at all ages, too. We get them from high school all the way through to, you know, and it's a great place. So tell us more. How did you learn construction, or who taught you?
So my father's been doing construction my whole life. So even as a kid, when I would go spend time with him, he would bring me to job sites, you know, give me like a little, like, oh, here's $10, you know, clean up. And then he would call me over. He'd be like, hey, look, this is a tape measure. You know, this is 1 inch. This one is the 1/2 inch. This is the 1/4 inch. So basically he taught me a lot of the basics before I got started. And then when I went to Youth Build, that's where it really helped me master my craft, because they teach construction there.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot of projects. I've done a lot of projects with them, a lot of remodels, sheds, a bunch of different things, and that's where I really learned to master my craft.
Okay. Now, you're when I visited you last week, you were building Adirondack chairs.
Yes. So
they are really nice looking.
Yeah, they're absolutely beautiful. But that was a project that the students came up with in order to raise money for a trip. So they basically want to plan a trip at the end of the year. So we have a construction program and a culinary program. So they decided to make something from each that they could sell at the farmer's market.
Yeah, yeah.
So we go down to the farmer's market every Friday from 12 to 5, and we have baked goods like brownies, cookies, cakes, and we also have our construction students make stuff. We have them make Adirondack chairs, which we sell. We have them make cornhole boards, which we sell, and picture frames.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is great. That is great. So what is the level of interest? Do you find many others like yourself? I mean, you obviously have got interest and drive, and you've made yourself as successful as you are right now, and you're going to have a great future just with your whole attitude and the way you go after things. You're going to do really well. But did you find other young men in the community that respond to you and want to follow in your footsteps or inspired by your story?
Yeah, there's a bunch through Youth Build, because that's the one thing I want to really make sure I emphasize to them about my story, so that they know that anything is possible, no matter what, because a lot of times people come out of jail and prisons, even like the COs in jails, they'll tell you like, oh, you're not going to be able to do nothing. You're not going to be nothing. You can't do anything with that record. Nobody's going to hire you. What, are you going to work at McDonald's for the rest of your life? So for me, like, to be able to sit there and be like, no, they're lying. If you give it your all and you work hard, you can do whatever you want to do. And I'm proof. Like, you know, so that actually does carry a lot of weight. And a lot of the students, when they like explain their Youth Build experience, they use my story as like, oh yeah, he was my inspiration. And he's the one that actually made me want to keep coming and do something.
So you have a great attitude.
Yeah.
Attitude makes a big difference.
It does.
And it's hard to instill, yet it's the most valuable thing that any one of us has. It's right. Our how we view life. And, you know, there's always two sides to every story. You know, I'm a firm believer in that. I'm very zen.
Right.
You know, balance in life is achieved in the embrace, what I call the embrace of the extremes. For example, you take something like anger.
Right.
Everybody says, oh, anger, that's bad. No, it's not bad. It's just energy. That's all it is.
Yeah,
it's potential. It's how you use that energy.
Right.
That determines, it's by the outcome, what you do with the energy. I mean, you got a 55-gallon drum of gasoline. That's energy. You can put a match to it and blow the place up, and, well, that's the end of that, right?
Or you could put it in a car and drive as far as you need to get.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And what makes the difference is how you use it, how you approach it. You know, and it's real easy to get lost, because I think anger, when you... I have problems with that at one point. And it's like a drug. Honest to God, it's like a drug. That's the answer to everything. Wah, wah. You know? It doesn't work. It just makes things worse.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's good. So how long have you been at this now?
So October will be 3 years I've been with Youth Build. And with the courts, I've been involved for 2 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you work with OCC?
No. Actually, I was a participant in OCC when I first was released. They wanted me to go there because my crime, I was drinking during my crime. So they wanted me to, when I first was released on parole, they wanted me to get some sort of drug and alcohol counseling. So I went there for the first 3 months after being released, and actually achieved every single milestone there, and completed in exactly 90 days. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That is great. That's great. And how old are you now, may I ask?
I'm 27.
27? Oh, yeah. Man.
You turned 27.
Wow.
In June.
Wow. You're in a very enviable position in your life. Wow, that is really, really great. And as you look ahead for the next, you know, we always want to plan ahead. What are some of your goals? Where would you like to see yourself be, say, in 5 years, 10 years, something like that?
Well, I love working in the nonprofit industry, and I also love working with the courts and people coming out of jail and prison, because I know that I'm a firm believer in second chances. Like, I know no matter what you did in your past, you can always change and work hard and become better for the future. So I want to be able to help people, guide them so that they understand that too, that not to let your past define you, but instead let it make you and build you and build your future for you. Because one of the main things I do is use my story and my experiences, use my story as experience,
right,
for what I need to do for my job. You know, so
let me ask you a question. Do you tell me in your mind, what is the difference between shame and guilt?
Shame and guilt,
are they the same?
I mean, I would kind of think so. So
a lot of people do.
Yeah.
The difference between them, I give a lot of thought to this stuff.
Yeah.
Then I write it down.
Off guard with that one.
Then I share it with everybody to see what reaction I get. You know, yeah. That's how I modify my thinking. Anyway, shame devalues the self. As your kid, you were told by adults, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
Well, no, you shouldn't be ashamed. You made a mistake. You made, right, a mistake. That's all you did. Mm. Guilt is something you did that was wrong, and so you make recompense for that, and that's legitimate. Again, it's nothing to bog you down. You just get a hold of it, look at it, deal with it, make what sort of restitution, whatever you got to make, and keep going.
Right.
Keep going. Mm. Keep going. So, well, that's very, very good. And well, how many other? Now, when I went in the shop the other day, you were there by yourself. Did you have other young men, people in there with you?
Yeah, we do have students usually during the day. They just leave. They were already gone by the time you got there. So there was a couple of things that we had to finish up. So me and the supervisor were just finishing up. He actually had just stepped out and went to the bathroom right before you came in. So
Okay. Yeah,
we were just finishing up some of the stuff there before, so we can get ready for the next day.
And what other kind of things do you build besides the Adirondack chairs and some of the other things you mentioned?
We do sheds. Are you familiar with Mill City Grows?
Mill City Grows, yes.
Yeah,
sure.
So they're doing a lot of garden, basically like community gardens all around the city.
Right.
Like they have one at Eagle Park, they have one on Smith Street, they have one on at Whipple Street Park. And we go around and we'll build the garden boxes with them.
Yeah.
So that's one of the other things we do. We also build some sheds for them there. And we do a lot of inside remodel too as well. Like we had, what was it? Last year we worked with Megan's House.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So we worked with Megan's House a little bit. We did some front and back decks for the houses that they were building to sell. We also did some work with Zach's house this year. And there's also an
is Zach's house, is that Zach Geis, guys? That who Zach's house is?
Zach's house?
Did you say Zach?
Yeah, it's through Lowell House.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we also did an 11 apartment remodel last year for the year before that for homeless families. So we do a lot of work in the community with through other nonprofits and for, you know, whoever else we can help. Like we've shoveled people out of their houses, we went and mowed people's lawns, raked yards, you know. We do whatever we can do to help out in the community.
I did that in grammar school. I cut lawn for like 7 people in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I shoveled the same people's snow in the winter. The snow was a problem because everybody wants to be done right away.
Right.
Right away. You can't do it. I'd be out shoveling snow from 6 in the morning till midnight. But, you know, I made money at it. Painted fences, you know, clean out your garage, wash your car, babysit your kids. Didn't matter. Always had
drive.
Another one job. Yeah, keep driving. driving. And you get a lot of satisfaction from your work, I am sure.
Yeah. Especially when, like, you know, we get, like, a thank you card or, you know, just someone comes in and like, sometimes we get, like, shout-outs on the radio. Sometimes we get all types of things. So it's, like, it's very rewarding, especially when you see, like, the smile on somebody's face when they come in and to a job well done, and they're like, yeah, wow, you guys are amazing. I can't even believe you guys came here and did this for me. Like,
well, I'll tell you, I'll give you an invitation right now. If you want to write up a story or a public service announcement that I can put out over the air on a regular basis to help promote what you're doing, I feel I'm happy to do it for you.
Sure.
You write it down, I'll put it out there. we'll get this thing rolling. But I think what you're doing is absolutely marvelous. I had no awareness of it all. So I'm so happy to meet you and to hear your story and see what you're doing. And you are a remarkable young man. You got a lot to be proud of, man.
Thank you.
I'm telling you. Well, we got about 5 minutes to go here before we wind up. You have anybody out there you want to say hello to? Any friends, family, whatever?
There's a lot of people, so I don't want to really say hi to some people and not other people. So just hi, everybody.
Yeah, do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have brothers and sisters. A lot of brothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah, I don't really want to leave people out. So
yeah. No, I understand.
It's
going
to take a lot more than 5 minutes to do that. If I could say anything before I leave, I just want to, like, tell everybody, just pursue your dreams and just remember at the end of the day, you can do whatever you really set your mind to. Anything is possible with hard work and dedication, and you should never let anybody tell you can't do something.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Raphael, thank you very much for coming on. Enjoy the rest of your day. You can come back anytime you want. You know, if you have some project that you're carving out for yourself, or something new that's going on with something somewhere that you want to talk about, you can come on in. Or if you want, we can also do it by telephone. You don't even have to come in. We do it right over the phone.
Well, for sure, I'll keep that in mind, and I have your contacts.
Frequency is important. It's like an advertiser. You know, keep the message out there. There's some things that are worth repeating.
All right.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. We've had Raphael Santana on. You're listening to Thinking Out Loud at WUML Lowell, and today is Monday, August 7th. Right now, we're going to put on a little bit of what I hope is going to be Workers' Independent News. You're listening to Thinking Out Loud at WUML Lowell.